Hey everyone, welcome to episode 191 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. That means just 9 weeks away from episode 200, and I want it to be something special. So let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from on episode 200. Weigh in at jitterymonkey.com or, of course, on all the social media platforms for My 123 Cents or myself at Kevin Huntsperger on Twitter, Instagram, and of course you can find me on Facebook. Like the My 123 Cents Facebook page. I'm posting live videos and other interactive polls, fun things like that. But I want to hear from you and get your 123 cents on what you want to hear and see on the blog at my123cents.com. And going to ramp up again, once again, on YouTube, and then, of course, every week here on the podcast. Speaking of podcasts, my guest this week is Dalton Anthony. He is returning. He is from Podzilla 1985. He is one of the co-hosts on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and Dalton and I do a superfan episode, this time on Goldust. Both of us big fans of Goldust, who, of course, was played or is played currently by Dustin Rhodes. I say currently as if there have been other people to be Goldust. Goldust, though, actually recovering from surgery recently, double knee surgery. So Dalton and I will talk about that and some of our favorite Goldust moments and what his legacy in professional wrestling will be. So be sure to stay tuned and check that out. Other podcasts I want you to check out this week include the Skullbuster WrestleCast. Of course, Jason and Tom Skull are your host on that show. They always have some fun and unique perspectives and break down an event in pro wrestling history. This past week, they talked about the Fabulous Freebirds, so that brought back some great nostalgia, some great memories for sure. Of course, my buddies here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, Greg Mahochko, the co-founder, and has Nerds United, along with the Five Heart Podcast. So be sure to check that out. Greg recently celebrating episode 100 of Nerds United. Chad with Positive Cynicism, and I do a bad job of keeping track of which week is going to be what episode. I think he's got a Question Everything coming up, but if he doesn't, coming up in this week, it'll be soon. Check it out, though. Chad has a unique perspective as well, trying to make the summer of positivity and the lifetime of positivity become a thing. Chad and I have been friends for many, many years, and I appreciate all he has done with helping in the My 123 Cents brand. Speaking of My 123 Cents brand, I recently received a suit from Shinesty.com. It is the My 123 Cents monkey all over the suit. I'm super excited about this, and I'm actually going to be wearing it for the very first time in public on Monday, July 23rd. It is a WWE house show, a SummerSlam, a Heatwave tour makes a stop in Carbondale, Illinois. You can still get tickets if you're in Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri, mm-hmm. or Western Kentucky. Be sure to check that out. It is, again, going on at the SIU Arena in Carbondale. Tickets still available. You can learn more on the My 123 Cents Facebook page and, of course, WWE.com. We'll get you hooked up as well with more ticket information. And, of course, if you're in the area, head on over to the arena and buy your tickets at the box office. It is a SmackDown show. I understand that Raw is actually going to be in Cincinnati that night, so I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to a WWE house show in quite some time. I haven't been to one in Carbondale, Illinois, since 2007, and I actually went to a meet and greet at that time with Chris Benoit. So Chad and I stood in line for hours waiting for that outside in the cold. It was February of that year. We were actually standing amongst other wrestling fans, but there was snow and ice on the ground as we stood in this parking lot at a car dealership. So again, WWE house show coming to town. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my indie buddies as well. Of course, Cape Championship Wrestling returns on July 28th. Be sure to check out capewrestling.com for all your details. And NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis will be defending against the former CCW champion Austin Lane. So that's going to be a great match, a great show for sure. And then Stride Pro Wrestling returns Saturday, August 4th. It has been 2 months. I am so excited and cannot wait. And I'll be wearing the suit again on August 4th, and then again on August 11th, a big benefit show coming up in El Dorado. I believe that one's going to be held at the high school. Still confirming the location for the August 4th Stride show, but that information will drop very, very soon. Be sure to check out strideprowrestling.com or, of course, keep up here on My 123 Cents. I'm trying to be fun and creative with Stride Pro Wrestling and tying in other things with Stride Pro Wrestling when it comes to pop culture or WWE. For example, I have an Extreme Rules blog up with all the Stride stars, or I was actually kind of proud of my Friday the 13th blog where Jason Voorhees takes on several competitors from Stride Pro Wrestling, and I kind of break down their chances against Jason, of course, the killer from the Friday the 13th movie franchise. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Check it out. It is, again, my123cents.com. Other friends out there doing podcasts, I'm a big part of the – I say a big part. I am part of the Battle Bowl tournament going on right now with the Ring General Radio. So check that out. Round one is over. And I want you to please be sure to check it out. Support other indie podcasts. Head on over to my123cents.com and you can learn more about some of these indie podcasts that I am listening to. It is a blog that is up right now. You can learn more details and get links to several podcasts out there. So support indie wrestling, but also support indie wrestling podcasters. So I think I've got all my plugs in. I didn't make any notes this week. If I forgot anyone, I apologize. But I'll be back again next week with more fun right here on My 123 Cents. But be sure to stay tuned now for Dalton Anthony.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 123 Cents of the Podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, as promised on this episode of, and originally the plan was to call this Gimmicked, and I started the Superfan series, and I think Dalton Anthony, who is the guest today, kind of fits into that Gold Dust Superfan. So Dalton, welcome back. Dalton, you may remember, was on an episode probably a year or so ago. We talked about action figures, and today we're talking about Gold Dust. So welcome back, Dalton.
How's it going? I'm super happy to be back and super happy to be talking about Gold Dust.
Yeah. Yeah, and before we get into the Gold Dust discussion, Dalton is part of Cape Championship Wrestling and the Podzilla 1985 Podzilla Network over there, podcasting network over there in Cape Girardeau, and on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And you guys actually, with Cape Championship Wrestling, CCW, have some great news. You're going to be on TV in the very near future.
Yeah, we're going to be on, I think the local station, it's MyFox 23. I'm not going to get the letters right, so I'm not going to take a stab at it.
KBSI.
That one. but yeah, I know we're going to be doing a weekly show starting August 5th. Make sure to hit your DVRs. It's 5 o'clock to 5:30 in the morning on Sundays, and it'll be a CCW Chaos. We're really excited for the opportunity that we're given there, and it should be good. We have a lot of really good shows coming up. I believe our next one is in 2 weeks at the Arena Building in Cape, so be sure to check that out.
That's right. Saturday night, July 28th is the date for that one. So be sure to support indie wrestling, whether it's here in Southern Illinois with Stride Pro Wrestling or in Cape Girardeau with Cape Championship Wrestling. And speaking of Stride, we're actually recording this at the Stride School. Stride Pro Wrestling has a school. There is plenty of information up on the my123cents.com website, as well as Stride Pro Wrestling's Facebook page. But we are here now to talk about Gold Dust. And Gold Dust has been in the news here lately too. Just recently had two knee surgeries and is on the mend. And I didn't even look to see Dalton. Do you know, have they said how long he's going to be out of action?
I don't know. Anytime it's a knee surgery, you have to put, I think it's like 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer. It was kind of a sad picture because I didn't even know about it until, because like Asa writes up PWU.
Uh-huh.
So, and he's really good about checking like every day about stuff. I didn't even know he had knee injuries. I just saw a picture with him on Instagram with Fandango, who just like had an elbow.
Yeah.
So they got their surgeries on the same day. He has his elbow, and you just see Goldust with both of his knees just wrapped.
It's you know, and Goldust, and we'll get into this as part of the discussion. I mean, he is very close to 50 years old, but is in incredible shape and is really, I would say this twilight, if you will, of his career has definitely been good in terms of his performance in the ring, without a doubt. But for those who, I think everybody knows Goldust's kind of beginnings or origin story. Of course, he is a Dustin Rhodes, son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And I know, Dalton, that you were probably not even born yet when Dustin kind of broke into the business and started up in Florida and moving into the NWA and obviously to the WWE, right?
Yeah, no, I very much remember the beginnings of Goldust, but it was one of those I didn't really get a great appreciation of him until the 2013-2014 run,
okay.
Whenever he came back. That was – and, I mean, I watched him before, but it was one of those – he was the funny gimmick. He was the right one that got electrocuted by Triple H and was doing the stuttering gimmick for a while. But, yeah, that was the – that 2013, like, whenever he started teaming with Cody,
mm-hmm.
that was the one when I really started, like, going back and watching him, because I was like, man, he was really good. And just going back and watching his stuff and then going back to like WCW and all that.
Okay. So, you know, I remember very well Dusty Rhodes, his run in WWF in 88 and 89, or scratch that, 89, 90, and then going into 91. Dustin Rhodes showed up on a Saturday night's main event. Ted DiBiase and Virgil beat him up. That led to a match at the Royal Rumble in 1991 with Dusty Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes teaming up against and losing to DiBiase and Virgil. And that was kind of Dusty's last. He was kind of wrapping things up and shortly left the company after that. Dustin, of course, followed, and they went back to WCW. And Dustin had an amazing run. They called him the Natural. I won't sing his theme song, but I always liked Dustin, but there was something about him that just didn't click. Like, he had the ability, obviously, in the ring. His charisma, I think, was kind of lacking. But then in 95, when he gets fired from WCW and ends up on WWF programming, and I remember this was the early days of the internet, and I was in college at the time, so yeah, I'm dating myself. There was a site called rec.sports.prowrestling or something along those lines, and there was talk of Dustin Rhodes and what his character was going to be. And the descriptions I was reading, there were no pictures. It was just – and I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And then those early vignettes started, and I was hooked. I am a huge fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So that whole kind of androgynous gimmick, if you will, and it hadn't been done before. And I would dare say that Dustin as Goldust kind of – started a spark of the controversy and of the that eventually became known as the Attitude Era. But in those early days, when he first started, there was nothing quite like it. And Dalton, you've gone back and looked at some of this stuff, right?
Oh yeah, all of like the early vignettes are amazing, and because it's one of those like the Natural Dustin Rhodes. It's not. I kind of agree with the charisma thing, and it's weird that that was who he was.
Right.
He was just Dusty Rhodes' son, and he's a talented worker. But you give him this character, which if like you ever hear him talk about it, like Vince was saying androgynous, and he was like, I don't know what that word is, but sure, I mean, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. He looked it up and then realized what it was and just decided to go full force into it. And I think that's the thing that really helped him is the second he got that character, he just went – from Natural to Goldust, and there was no middle. Like, mm-hmm. He was just there 100%.
Yeah. If you didn't watch and follow pro wrestling closely, you probably might not have even known that the guy in the gold paint and the bodysuit was Dustin Rhodes wrestling in a cowboy hat and, you know, the son of the American Dream just 6 months earlier. So he really embraced it and took it to the next level, as you mentioned, because there was talk at one point of him even getting – and, you know, Bruce Prichard talks about this on his podcast where Dustin had offered – I think it was a little further down the road – to get breast implants. Like, he was that committed to this character and getting it over and keeping it over, which I think he did a great job with.
Yeah, and it – it very much helped that it was the Attitude Era, because it's one of those they've tried, and not necessarily WWE, but they've tried similar things in other companies. And I think it was one of those, Dustin did it first, and he did so well that he kind of ruined it for everybody. Because there can't be another Goldust to that extreme, like early, or mid to late 90s Goldust. Like, we had Cody do Stardust, and that was really, really good.
Yeah.
But you can't have that controversial, like, I'm sure we'll talk about the Roddy Piper Mania match.
Sure.
Like, you, like, if you see that nowadays, it's either going to be, well, they're copying Goldust, or what are they doing?
Right. And, you know, he has obviously, he's one of those characters who has stood the test of time. Now, there were pockets there where he left. He went back to WCW when it was still around and did the Seven thing for a minute. He went to TNA as Black Reign and went to the indie scene. But, you know, consistently since 1995, the name Goldust, and as he said, you'll never forget the name of Goldust, and I'm not going to do the whole thing because I'll embarrass myself, but... You know, very few men can lay claim to that kind of longevity. Kane, obviously, is at the top of that list, and The Undertaker. Really, I think are probably your three, you know, coupled with Goldust, are your three top, and if I'm forgetting somebody, correct me, or somebody out there, correct us. But those are your three guys, I think, who have stood the test of time. Triple H, I think you could throw in there, but I never really viewed Triple H as a character or a gimmick, if you will, but Goldust definitely, of all of those guys, my favorite, and kind of, you know, standing that test of time and having that it factor that was just so compelling. And I wonder too, was it part of his plan to break away and break that pact and that bond with Dusty Rhodes? How do you sever that tie and go a 180 on your character and your family, than to become an androgynous guy that's painted in gold and emulating and throwing out movie quotes? I mean, Dusty Rhodes was the John Wayne of wrestling, as they used to say, and, you know, a tough SOB and a man's man, and now you've got his son running around dressed the way he dressed and doing the things he's doing with other men.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, that it's such a 180, and I always go back to, I think it was a Vince knew what he was doing, thinking that it probably wouldn't work, because a lot of people, and I'm one of them included, thinking that Dusty Rhodes run of 89 to 90 was kind of a joke.
Right.
Where he was just like, no, I got this guy now, he can't wrestle for other people, and I'm just going to embarrass him. And then Dusty Rhodes made it work.
Right.
And I think he's like, well, that one didn't work. I got his son now. I'm going to make his son do this. And then his son made it work.
Yeah.
And I think, if that's true, Vince is one of the smartest people, because it was either going to make him look horrible or it was going to make Vince a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately for Vince and Dustin, in that matter, it made Vince a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Dustin in that case too. And it's like, it's really neat, because I messaged you a couple days ago because we were going to do this months ago, and then just fell through, and then I forgot about it, and I just messaged you a couple days ago. And I was looking back at like his Wikipedia page, just clicking like how many times he's actually been hired and let go, where it's like, no, they always want him around.
Yeah.
They may not have something for him, let him go for a year or two, but he'll come back, and he'll come back to something.
Right.
Which is really neat, because not a lot of people are going to say that. Kane, Taker, and Triple H are really the only ones consistently that did that for 20-plus years.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? What is it about that character? You know, because like we said, he ventured off into other companies and tried different things, still not going back to Dustin Rhodes. You know, he did the Seven thing, as we mentioned, and it was kind of a macabre character painted up, Black Reign and TNA, which I don't know how long he was there doing that, but he's always had these different, you know, he's veered away from Dustin and has always kind of altered the Goldust ego, if you will.
I think that's just, and it might be, I mean, I haven't listened to him in a lot of podcasts, but I'm sure it's one of those like, well, I mean, it's a character, so mm-hmm. I can be that character. It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and every company's went to since, that's not WWE, they tried to kind of reclaim that Goldust thing, but put an edge to it. That was the Seven thing. Like, if you look at those vignettes, they were kind of weird. And then the TNA thing, I don't even really like talking about, because that was one of those that was just like, all right, so they made him more violent, and now he's completely unhinged, which was never, like, Goldust had some malice in him, but he was never, like, murderous.
Right, right.
Like, it was always, like, it was as grounded as a character as that character could possibly be.
Yeah.
Like, even in the Attitude Era, like, his storylines, like as outlandish as they were, made sense. Like the whole him, Val Venus, and his wife thing, like, no, that made perfect sense.
Right.
Like, all right, he's this outlandish Hollywood character. This other character comes in, takes his wife, and now he's fighting for him. Well, couldn't beat him as Goldust, so I'm going to wrestle him as Dustin Runnels.
Yeah.
And then go back to Goldust right after it. Like, all of that made sense. Anytime he's gone somewhere else and another person has had, like, we're going to give him a similar gimmick, it just hasn't worked because they would just go way left field.
Yeah.
Like, why is this man that's looking at a child through a window a wrestler, whereas, like, no, it's a Hollywood actor.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's... But it just speaks volumes to how, like, that character will always be around because it's a character that everybody has always known and has always understood, at least.
Absolutely. And, you know, you brought up his wife, Terry Runnels, who actually was... the guest on episode 100 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. I reached out to her via social media, and she talked a lot about those early days and coming in and how, you know, Dustin and Vince kind of came up with the idea and she worked with them and developed that character. You know, for me at the time, I always enjoyed Goldust as a heel. I liked him as a bad guy. The character to me made more sense as a bad guy. You know, and you brought up the backlot brawl with Rowdy Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 12. So let's talk about that. You know, there's different stories floating around out there what the original plan was for that. Razor Ramon, who had dropped the Intercontinental title to Goldust at Royal Rumble 1996, was supposed to be in that spot against Goldust. And I think it was supposed to be a Miami street fight. There was also a rumor going around that Rowdy Roddy Piper was going to wrestle OJ Simpson that night. And they kind of spurred some OJ in there with the Broncos scene. But, you know, I want to get your impression of the match, because I know on the most recent Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Shannon made a comment about it. What's kind of the thought process on this match for you guys?
I mean, I've never personally asked Shannon about it. I'm willing to say Shannon probably hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Asa probably is indifferent about it. It's fun. That's wrestling fun right there, and you always need that at WrestleMania. Like,
right.
We say this a lot on PW. In a bubble, it is a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was at WrestleMania 34 this year, the Nicholas Braun Strowman moment.
You're right.
In a bubble, that was really, really fun. Like, being there, that was amazing. The night after, kind of everything got ruined.
Right.
And I don't necessarily remember what happened right after the Raw after that Hollywood Brawl, but that was wrestling fun. Like, mm-hmm. you have a match that starts in Hollywood backlot.
You're right.
Goldust almost kills Piper with a car.
Yeah.
And then they drive off, and then it cuts to actual OJ Simpson car chase footage. Like, and if people are listening to this that are younger than me at that point, go, if you have the network, yeah, go watch it.
Definitely.
It's so silly. But it's one of those things, like, it's wrestling fun. Like, you need that every once in a while.
Right.
And that's what Goldust was always good for. He was always that wrestling fun, sprinkled in with moments of, like, a serious match.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we're obviously talking about Goldust because we're both big fans of his, so I was all in with Goldust from the get-go, him winning the Intercontinental Championship. And then, you know, as a kid, who didn't love to hate Rowdy Roddy Piper? So you put these two combustible forces against each other, and then the setting that they're in, I liked it too. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, I almost think it's fair to say that that was the last WrestleMania at that point that, I don't want to say last, but things kind of tapered off a little bit, and we kind of went through a downtime. We had kind of bounced up and down, I guess, from, you know, 93, 94, 95. We're in 96 at this point, and Goldust is kind of on that leading edge of the Attitude Era. So, and it wasn't probably more than, I don't know, 9 months after this, and Goldust was probably, in my view, if he wasn't the hottest heel, he was definitely top three of the bad guys in the company. Of course, he was the Intercontinental Champion. I got to see him wrestle a couple times live in person. He wrestled Shawn Michaels at a St. Louis house show for the championship shortly after WrestleMania that year. And then in that fall in Cape Girardeau at the Show Me Center, he wrestled Sid in the main event. So
Goldust had those main event moments on the house show scene. I don't think he I don't know that he ever main evented a pay-per-view, but there was something about him, as I said, as that bad guy role I enjoyed. And then they kind of started turning things and made him a good guy. And I don't know – I feel like it was too soon for that. I mean, I think it was inevitable, but I think they did – I think they pushed the button a little too soon on that. What are your thoughts? And I know you weren't probably watching live at this point, but kind of going back in the retrospective of things and having him turn good.
With it being as close as it was to the Monday Night War – because that's like that is the time frame, and that's like you right before that was Goldust getting like all of that steam, like going forward, and then just the influx of wrestling that happened right then. I think they were trying to get, they were just throwing stuff against walls.
Yeah,
because it was the whole thing. Like that's what I talk to people about the Attitude Era. It's just like everybody's like, oh, it's the best time in wrestling. It's like like 2/3 of it was the best. Like the other 1/3 was them throwing stuff against the wall.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, more than once, Goldust was that piece of spaghetti on the wall that they were just trying to make stick.
Yeah.
And like the oddities, like that was, and that's why Goldust in the 90s isn't as well. And I, that's when I'm like, I was born in 92. So that's the kind of stuff I don't remember as much.
Sure.
But the way like turning him face was kind of a mistake in my opinion, because in that Attitude Era, that is your, that is the person you can have be the heel against your, like Val Venus, like the Nation, people like that. You can run him against all those characters. If you turn him face, it's just, it's not, he wasn't as good at chasing something as he was at like holding, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that kind of character isn't the kind of character that is, that's not your sympathetic baby face like prototype.
Right.
Like that is a boss, like that is a video game boss level character right there. That's not the protagonist of a video game.
Yeah. And I almost feel like too, because you know, back in the mid to late 80s, you had Adrian Adonis, who, you know, adorable Adrian Adonis, who did come out on Tuesday Night Titans. And I know this is way before your time, but he, you know, his gimmick was he was gay and he was a bad guy. And in that time frame and in that era of wrestling and of society, you know, the gay guy was the you know, the evil, if you will. It's not how society has evolved and changed its views to what it is today. And I feel like Goldust, even though they never came right out and said he's gay, there were implications, you know, the flirting with Razor Ramon and the innuendos and whatnot.
Yeah, it was, and that was the whole thing. Like whenever I said it, whenever I first went back and started watching Goldust stuff, that was the part that I was, God, I had been like 30, it was right at the beginning of YouTube. So like I was like between 12 and 15. And just going back and like him going around for the grab behind him and then just like the flirting with him. Like as 13, 14 year old Dalton, I understood enjoying wrestling. I was like, that is the most perfect way to get that kind of heat in the way like in Scott Hall, like is just a great professional half the time.
Right.
Just sold it perfectly. And that's how you do that. I think in today, if you did that character, it would almost kind of, you know what? Actually, I don't think you can do that character today.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree. I don't know that incarnation of Goldust in 95, 96 would resonate and translate into 2018, and that's where that evolution is important for performers. You know, because how many guys have we? You know, Kane, for example. He was Dr. Isaac Yankum. He was the fake Diesel. He was the Christmas creature. He was Unabomb. He had all these different characters and whatnot. Finally, he gets to Kane, and we're still, you know, seeing him. He's going to be at Extreme Rules, or by the time you're listening to this, he wrestled at Extreme Rules, you know, some 21 years after making his debut. But he did that by evolving that character. Undertaker, the same way, you know, the dead man, the really dead man kind of out there with the body bags, and then eventually transforming into the American Badass and the biker, and now kind of back to, you know, he's come full circle. And Goldust, I think, is very similar in that he has evolved the character. You mentioned, you know, he was Dustin Runnels for a brief stint there and then evolved back into Goldust, and he was good and he was bad, and then reuniting with Cody, as you know, Cody was of course just Cody for a bit there, but then Cody became Stardust. So he's got the staying power, and he's one of, you know, he's a rare exception. It's a great honor for any of any wrestler to become a WWE superstar. I'm sure they look for that. But then to connect and resonate and be relevant with the fans, 20 plus years after that original debut, to me, is nothing short of remarkable.
Yeah, and I think it's the family. Like, I think that is the one family that gets that, because, I mean, a lot of people, Dusty was for, I mean, from when he started to when he passed away, was one of the most important people in wrestling.
Right.
Like, I mean, he was there with WCW whenever it was beaten Raw. He was the start of NXT. Like, and then his, and I'm not even mentioning his wrestling career.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You have Goldust, who started wrestling. Like, his wrestling debut on Wikipedia is 1988. So mm-hmm. over 30 years of wrestling, and he's still widely recognizable. And then you have Cody with what he is currently doing. Like, that is just a trailblazing family. And I think it's just the genes in that one. You mentioned the Cody. Like, I was there in St. Louis when they won the belts against the Shield.
Okay.
And that was just an amazing moment, because I love, like, always loved Cody, always loved Goldust. Ever since, like, I think I really became a big Goldust fan in 2002, whenever him and Booker T started teaming up, because I loved Booker T. And just, it was so neat to get to see that moment where they won the belts. And yeah. Oh, what part were we on? Like, just the, his staying power. It's just neat to see that, like, this character that was very, like, polarizing and super heel is just, like, he's become a comedic character, but not, I mean, super overboard sometimes.
Right.
But just the fact that he can still go in and be very legitimate threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and some of that you're talking about, the comedy stuff, when he became kind of that artist formerly known as Goldust, and he was paired with Luna Vachon, and he would come out each week as a different character. My favorite during that whole little time period when he was doing that was when he, of course, was Dusty. He came out to Dusty's music. He had the polka dots, and he wrestled JBL that night. This was before JBL was JBL, but and he got creamed very quickly. But it was just kind of that rebuilding, and then that eventual rebranding of Gold, you know, returning back to the Gold Dust roots. So do you have a particular memory, moment, a favorite? I know you just mentioned him and Cody winning the tag titles and his partnership with Booker T, which was phenomenal. They had amazing chemistry together as well.
I think my favorite Gold Dust moment probably is them winning the belts.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that match, like, if you go back and watch it, one of the biggest crimes in wrestling, in my opinion, like, when it comes to, like, a championship belt, is the fact that Gold Dust, whenever he came back in that time, never held a singles belt, because
mm-hmm.
that was probably some of his best work. Like, I remember, because the going story was Cody was getting fired. It's whenever, like, the Authority really started becoming an issue. Cody was going to get fired, so Goldust comes back to wrestle Randy Orton, and if Orton beats Goldust, then Cody stays fired. And I believe Goldust lost that match, but it was just that match of, like, and again, 20 some odd years into his career, still went 100% had a great television match against one of the top guys in WWE.
Yeah.
And then that went into them starting the tag team, and just that run of Goldust's career. Like, so that Orton match until they lost the belts as Stardust and Goldust, that was, in my opinion, probably his greatest time in WWE, because he was considered a legitimate threat the entire time. And it went from super babyface to they are evil, evil heels.
Mm-hmm. So at what point, and would you, first of all, have had him as a WWE champion, as the champion? Of course, he had a couple of times as Intercontinental Champion, but would you have put the big belt on him? And if so, what era of Gold Dust, what incarnation would that have fit in your timeline, do you think?
The way that the character evolved when he debuted.
Mm-hmm.
Within a year of him debuting, that would have been the most acceptable time to put the world title on him.
I totally agree, yeah.
Because, I mean, even at that point, he was only, like, less than 10 years, like, wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he would have been ready for it. And that was kind of, and I don't want to say stale point in WWE, but you were starting to see the people going to WCW and all that. That would have been the perfect time to have a character like that have the belt. Anytime past the Attitude Era, when you have, like, all of, when we legitimately had two of the best wrestlers of all time in the same company, as good as Dustin Rhodes was at the time, you can't really, there was a reason Rock and Austin held the belt that long.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more on that. So as we kind of start to wind down and wrap things up, any other thoughts? What is Goldust's legacy? And you know, we talked about this injury that he's convalescing from. Now I've got to assume he will be back at some point. But as we mentioned too, at nearly 50 years of age, at some point, he will probably start winding things down if WWE does it. But I know we still have Kane and The Undertaker making these appearances. And I don't think Kane – I know he's back for this little run, but I don't know that he's in for a long haul either. But what is Goldust's legacy, do you think, and what do you see for his future once he does come back?
I would love to see one more championship run, like tag or singles otherwise, because mm-hmm. I mean he's been there for so long. He's one of those, like, the whole deserving of belts is kind of arbitrary, but like he deserves one more just mm-hmm. because he's been there for so long. Sure. And he's done such good work for such a long time, barring the injury being what it was. What I was hoping, and I'm sure I said it on PWU, but like whenever they announced All In and they said Cody was going to wrestle for the NWA championship, I wanted his contract to be done,
yeah,
so he could beat Aldis for the NWA title and then have those two face each other, Cody and Dustin, because we never got that match proper at WWE.
No. Yeah.
I would love to see that if Cody was to come back to WWE, give him and Dustin one match. And then, I mean, that is, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer without holding a world title. He will be in that Piper category. And I mean, he is right now, but whenever he retires, like, proper, he will be in that, well, people that should have held the world belt that never did.
Right. And that was going to be my next question for you, is definitely a Hall of Famer, then, no question.
Oh, not even, there's, you can't even question it.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. So, again, Goldust, this is a 30-minute summary of a man who has had an amazing career, and you know, we have no doubt we'll be back and we'll continue to rock it. He has evolved and transformed his life behind the scenes as well. If you haven't already read his book, I would highly recommend that as well. He talks very candidly about his addictions and his previous indiscretions, and is open and honest about it. And I think that getting himself clean and then now turning to Diamond Dallas Page, DDP Yoga, I know has done a lot of work for him as well. So he has a fascinating story, and learn more about Goldust through those avenues. Dalton, any other projects or things going on with you that you want to get out there and let folks know about?
The same. Tune in to Podzilla 1985 on your podcast catcher apps. Check out Cape Championship Wrestling on YouTube. And also, if you're looking into training here at Stride, do it. It's a fantastic organization. Go on Stride's Facebook page. There's only good guys that train here, and they take care of you. I think it's not a lot's changed in a year, honestly. I'm still doing the same things.
And still collecting those action figures.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I'm what time is it right now? We're recording at 5:57. In less than 12 hours, I'll be driving to Dallas.
Really?
I have a best friend that lives there, and there's like five of the biggest toy stores in America.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, no, I may be broker the next time you see me.
Who are you looking for?
Right now, the SummerSlam set, there's a version, V1 Matt Hardy, Seth Rollins in all red, and then I think there's a Beast Finn Balor that I don't have yet.
Okay.
Yeah, and then a couple of pops here and there.
Do you have any Goldust figures?
Yeah, I have kind of an elite set. It didn't come in two, but like they released them pretty close to each other. It was him and Stardust. I have that one.
Okay.
And that's the really cool, the like flame paint that's coming up the side of the face.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. And then they did like 10 waves ago, they did a classic Goldust.
Okay.
With like, awesome, in like a fabric, like gold glittery robe and everything. I was like, yeah, I need that one in my life too. I would love for a WCW Dustin Rhodes, like the natural.
Yeah.
I'll buy that one.
That would be good.
Wrestling figures, man, they make them so much.
Yeah, and I don't collect a lot, but in 96, when Jack Specific released its first line of action figures, it was Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Undertaker, Razor Ramon, and Goldust, and I bought all six. And for the longest time, they stayed in the package and whatnot, but yeah, Goldust was one of those that, you know, and then I bought the Goldust and Goldust and Melina combo pack or whatever you call it. Those were all Jack specifics many, many moons ago, though. But, you know, again, check out Podzilla 1985 on your podcasting apps. You can check out Stride Pro Wrestling, Cape Championship Wrestling. Support indie wrestling, folks, is the bottom line. July 28th, it is Cape Championship Wrestling over in Cape Girardeau. Stride Pro Wrestling returns August 4th, and a week later on August 11th, a big benefit show. We'll have more details about that. A very important night for sure. So be sure to check out strideprowrestling.com to learn more about that. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. Dalton, thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thank you for having me on again.
Absolutely, and have a great week, everyone.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.